Kia ora and welcome to our urban issues expert, Bill Mackay.
Kia ora, Catherine.
Bill is, of course, at the University of Auckland, where he is senior lecturer in the School of Architecture and Planning. You finally get to talk about the Gordon Wilson Flats.
Yes. As you mentioned, Wellington City Council's just passed a new district plan. They voted to deschedule 10 heritage buildings, including several modern ones. And this plan, it's aimed at increasing density so more housing is developed handy to where people work and study and play. And there's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. That's an opinion shared by most urban designers internationally. Density leads to more affordable housing. It's better in terms of both cost and sustainability than sprawl or greenfield development, you know, eating up arable or environmentally sensitive land. And, you know, Wellington's infrastructure woes. Density also leads to upgrades of existing infrastructure. And that infrastructure, it's cheaper to do than the infrastructure that we have to put in brand new, to horizontal infrastructure out to greenfields. So water, sewage, Wellington sure needs that. But here's the issue. The council seems to think that heritage buildings stand in the way of progress, or densification at least. I think it's very important that we keep the character of our cities as we develop them, and that includes heritage buildings, and modernist period buildings are part of that. You know, it's our history, it's our city's histories. And I'll focus on one building, as you mentioned, the Gordon Wilson Flats. Perhaps it's the most contentious, it's very big, and but I've had some involvement with attempts to save that over the years, but and often people refer to it as an eyesore, but I'll use that as an example of modernist buildings in general. Councillor McNulty, he's reported as saying of many of the buildings that have been delisted that the owners didn't want them saved. That's definitely the case with Gordon Wilson Flats, which is owned by the university there. I don't think that's good enough. We don't accept that as a rationale in many other areas, you know, such as preservation of large and significant trees, land use generally. You know, your home is not your castle. You can't do whatever you want on your land. It's been like that since the days of Babylon, when we lived close together in the society. You know, native flora and fauna and so on. You know, we have obligations to the societies we live in.
Yeah, but those things don't cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars to retain and millions of dollars to upgrade.
Yeah, well, kind of like sell it then. Sell it to someone else. This is what happens. Well,
This is Wellington's problem.
It's
heritage. It's not just heritage. It's heritage has got earthquake-prone stickers and, all over it. Yes. Even the council's had to put an eye-watering amount of extra into its town hall funding. It's not that people don't want to save them necessarily, they just can't afford to.
And I'll come to that. Indeed, that was an argument in Napier for a long period of time as well. I spent a lot of time there in the 70s at high school and saw the people of Napier happily demolishing their Art Deco buildings. You know, it's a different story there now. I was there a few weeks ago, but I'll come to the seismic issue shortly. I think modernism, just like Art Deco, wasn't appreciated in the 70s. It takes time for the shock of the new to dissipate and appreciation of buildings' merits to seep into society more broadly. You see that in art and fashion as well. We're getting there with modernism. You know, look at how popular so-called mid-century modern and retro-modern styles are. And a lot of people as well will dismiss the Gordon Wilson Flats as ugly, but, you know, people have said that of the Impressionist artists, you know, but they're all over biscuit tins these days. The apparent ugliness, you know, of modernism is not grounds for delisting it. Both the Wellington Council and Heritage New Zealand at Category 1 have listed it as worthy of protection on grounds such as historic, social, architectural, technological, rarity values at national level. And the other thing about the flats being called eyesores is, and lots of building owners are guilty of this, they complained that the physical condition of the building, you know, it's too far gone, and that becomes a reason to bowl them. But that's often a result of intentional neglect and lack of maintenance by owners. So to the seismic risk, Wellington's got significantly more seismic risk, of course, than many other places, but there are lots of examples of heritage buildings in Wellington that have been successfully updated structurally. I'm always struck in Wellington the number of heritage buildings that have had flats built on the rooftops of them, you know, sometimes up to two stories high. It should be remembered that the conservation of buildings with heritage values doesn't preclude adaptive reuse, changing the use and changes to visible features, you know, such as facades or interior planning. Also, the cost of upgrading an existing building with a lot of the technology we've got, especially if you can strip it back to the bones, is still going to be cheaper than demolishing the thing and throwing it away and building a whole new one.
We probably need to just discriminate between heritage buildings in the sense of the much maligned villas and, more importantly, many of those apartment-prone buildings where the owners simply cannot afford and are either selling out at a pittance or just taking heart pills, basically. And those that are actually heritage listed. Now, apart from the Gordon Wilson flats, there were a few others that came off. There was one, I think, at to do with Weta's business, Peter Jackson's business empire, an old kind of historic tank of some kind. But was there anything else there that really made your eyebrows raise with this recent change?
Primarily, I'm talking about, you know, the more modern ones and Gordon Wilson flats in particular, because, you know, like I mentioned, I've had a bit of an association with attempts to preserve that. But here's my key point: sustainability and adaptive reuse. You know, with the worldwide impact of climate change that we've got, and we've got city councils all over the country, you know, that have been declaring climate change emergencies, but then not, you know, like central governments are pretty slow to actually do anything significant about it. But I think the onus is on large institutional places such as university and councils to adopt these practices. And it is a lot cheaper and it is much more sustainable to take an existing building, as Auckland University has done, even if you strip it back to the bones, it's much more sustainable to turn that into accommodation. So Auckland University has done it with the Simon Street flats, at 1940s buildings. Very similar scenario.
How many flats, please, by the way?
Oh, that's several stories high.
Right.
And on the edge of a cliff as well. You know, we don't have the seismic issues that much of the other part of the country has, but that was geotechnically in a difficult site, running down to Grafton Gully. And I've just had a good tour around a 1960s modernist building at Auckland Uni that has been stripped back to the bone, and I'll report on that after Easter, by a big architectural firm called Jazzmax. And I'll be able to run through the finer points of the economics of the whole thing and the extent to which we can actually get sustainable reuse and end up with a very good result out of the building. It's often, you know, fair enough, the point being made about cost, but it's often a lack of broader thinking, you know, and a lack of vision and will sometimes, I think.
And in this city anyway, show me the money, honey.
Indeed, all over the country at the moment. All over the country.
Yeah, indeed. Bill, thank you very much for that. Bill Mackay is Senior Lecturer in the School of Architecture and Planning at the University of Auckland.